And when I was nine, we moved to Perth, Salvation Army officer's child, and I went to Eden Valley Primary School. So I was in grade four. Now, you think I'd be an idyllic child? Is that a word, idyllic? Very well behaved. Do you think that, Elijah, what do you think? Do you think I'd be a very good boy like you are? Well, when I was nine, I was that boy in class who used to get sent into the corridor. Believe it or not, I got sent into the corridor and I used to sit there. So the teachers couldn't sort of handle me very well because I was just a little bit disobedient and naughty. And so when I turned 10, my mother thought it was a good idea to send me to Christian school for 2 years. And obviously they had to pay money, which was a big deal for them. But they thought, we need to sort David out. We're going to send him to Christian school. AOG, Assemblies of God Christian School, is a brand new one, Northside Christian School in Perth. And I went there for 2 years and wore a tie every day. And I learned how to be a good boy. And I also learned a lot about scriptures. And half an hour every morning, we used to sit in our little desk things with walls up. It's quite amazing there. And we had to learn the books of the Bible off by heart. And we had to learn chapters of the Bible. So Psalm 1, Psalm 8, we used to know about 10 chapters of the Bible, Psalm 23, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 13. And we'd learn every morning scripture memorization. So one of my little, what I call a party trick, I can still do to this day, is I can say the books of the Bible. Who can tell me how many books of the Bible there are? 66. 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, 66 books in the Bible. Can anyone recite the books of the Bible here? Come on, junior soldiers, corps cadets, others. We used to have songs and so on, we learn it. Anyway, I had the school record, not just being very, very humble here, the school record, one of the things I achieved in primary school, was a school record for saying the books of the Bible in 16 seconds. Craig's laughing. He doesn't believe me. I could say the whole 66 books of the Bible in 16 seconds. So just to prove that, Elijah, I can trust you. You're a trombone player. Do you want to time? You've got some gadget there, I'm sure. You can time this for me. Here we go. And if you want to just get your Bible out and check the index to make sure I don't miss any of the 66 books of the Bible, here we go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Prophets, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 1 2 Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 1 2 3 John, Jude, Revelation. 18. Oh, I think his watch is wrong. I missed one. Which one did I miss? Very good, thank you. I get faster as the day goes on. I'll be 16 by about 4 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to come, no. So what I did learn though, I learned that there's these strange books in the back of the Old Testament called prophets. And does anyone know how many major prophets there are? If we're watching the video. 3, it said on the video, yes. According to when I went to Bible school, it was Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, the 5 major prophets, and the 12 minor prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, 12 minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. There's 12 minor prophets. So there's a lot of profiteering going on. And there is obviously a third. So if you're into stats, I quite like stats, but 17 books of the Bible out of 66. Obviously, a quarter of the Bible is made up of prophets. And there's actually 88, 65 in the Old, 23 in the New, 88 prophets mentioned in the Bible. And these 88 prophets, they don't sort of, none of them come in to say, hey guys, you're doing a great job, have fun, thanks for worshiping God and doing everything you're supposed to do. Basically, the 8 of them tell off Christians or tell off God's people, the Israelites, and say, hey, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. You should be doing something that you're not doing. and you're not quite on track with living out God's word. So not saying not to come the next few weeks, but they're not going to be cheery messages as we hear from the minor prophets. So Amos is one of them. Amos is a little bit different. He's not a professional prophet. He doesn't come from a prophet family. It says in Amos 7 that he grew sycamore trees. He was a farmer. He was basically a lay preacher. And I always used to say, you know, apprentice prophets are dangerous, aren't they? You know, prophets coming in to predict things and they don't really know what they're doing. Well, Amos obviously did know what he was doing because he made the cut to the Bible and they continue to talk about him to this day. So, but the main message in Amos is about social justice, which most of the minor prophets, you'll see a theme. And obviously William Booth, our founder, he talks a lot about the prophets, especially Isaiah, and he loves this theme of social justice, which is really about helping the marginalised. It's about how we treat the marginalised, and of course the Salvation Army, our heritage is all involved in that. But the International Social Justice Commission says this, which is I think the best definition we have of it. The Salvation Army is committed to social justice because it is foundational to the character of God as described by the psalmist. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne, says in Psalm 89. The writers of the Old Testament have a repeated theme to care for the outcast, marginalised and powerless. The writings of the Old Testament have a repeated theme to care for the outcast, marginalised and powerless. And I think I've said this to you before, but many years ago I met a guy called Jeff Ryan. He was an officer from Canada. Some of you might have heard him speak at He used to speak a bit at social justice conferences, et cetera, around the world. And I remember him looking me in the eye and challenging me to have friends who are poor, have friends who are marginalised, have friends that do life harder than you do life yourself, David. You will learn more off them than you will from anywhere else. Well, I want to introduce you to one of my friends. See his picture on the screen here. This is Matt, my friend Matt. Matt taught me many things. And I'd have to say, after going to conferences on social justice, writing papers on social justice, reading books on social justice, that I learned more from Matt. And I've learned more from people and helping people and journeying with people, like many of you have over the years, than you will from reading about it. So there's three themes that I've just taken out of Amos this morning that will help me tell you Matt's story. The first one is this idea that with privilege comes responsibility. And what the prophet is saying here, Amos is saying to the Israelites, you are God's chosen people. Because you're God's chosen people, you are blessed. You've been looked after. I've rescued you from the wilderness. I've given you prosperity. I've protected you. You've won every battle you've gone into. Because of that blessing, I expect you to bless others and look after others. Says here, I brought you out of Egypt and led you 40 years in the wilderness to give you the land of the Amorites. I also raised up prophets from among your children and Nazarites. Nazarites were a blessed people that weren't allowed to cut their hair and they weren't allowed to drink alcohol. So it'd be good salvos. And from among your youths, is this not true, people of Israel, declares the Lord? But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. You only have I chosen all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your sins. And so Amos says to the Israelites, you are privileged people, you are blessed people, so you need to treat people and love people and live the way I want you to live in this world. And I believe that's true for us. Not only as Australians, we're privileged people, aren't we? We just see what's happening in all parts of the world at the moment. We are privileged, blessed people. But also as part of our denomination, the Salvation Army, we are privileged people. So many people, and you can all tell stories here about trust us with their lives. They walk into our building, they trust this thing called the Red Shield and the uniform, And we are given opportunities that not many other people are given. And when we have debates about things like uniforms, etc., I always say to people, if you want to argue about whether we should wear uniform in and out of the church, I think what a better thing to do is actually wear your uniform in the community and just see how many conversations you have and how many opportunities you have to help others, to bring hope to others, to love others, and the opportunities you will get. Well, that was me, because in the Salvation Army, I started working with the Salvos in 2001. The admin lady there, she used to get inquiries from people that walk in from the street in the community. I was a youth pastor, and they said, there's a guy who's about 30. He's not quite youth, but he wants to meet someone and have a chat. So I've booked you in at 3 o'clock this afternoon to have a conversation with Matt. So I'm going to put another picture of Matt up on the screen. That's sort of what he looked like when he came in to see me. And we had coffee together. And Matt was a bit different. He brought in 2 donuts and 2 cups of coffee. And normally, when people come in into the Salvos, they're normally asking you for things, you know, can you help us with food? Can you help us with clothes? And that's fine. But Matt was a bit different to the other people I'd met. And he just wanted a conversation. He told me he's quite lonely, lived down at the local football ground. And I started journeying with Matt. And so I want to tell you his story this morning because he taught me a lot about social justice. In 2001, I used to think social justice and helping people was trying to turn people into myself. I thought I was a great version of a human being. So when Matt came in, I'd speak to Matt and go, oh, Matt, you should live like me. You need to live in a 4-bedroom house and drive a car and clean it every second day and wear nice clothes and all those sorts of things. But, of course, Matt started to teach me different ways of life. Matt lived in the local football ground in the hot dog van. And I said, are you allowed to live there? And he goes, yeah, I am now. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, oh, they found me a couple of times. But he goes, they said I'm a really cheap security guard. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, they've had so much less vandalism since I've been living there. And the grandstand doesn't get graffitied every weekend. And so Matt was the local character at the football ground. And I started to journey with Matt. And I discovered that Matt was very intelligent. And Matt had the Australian ranking of number 7 for Scrabble players in Australia. Is there any Scrabble players here? Surely I'm in the right audience. There we go. So I started doing all sorts of things with Matt. Matt would come over to our house for dinner occasionally, and my 2 boys used to call him Homeless Matt. And he didn't really like the title of homeless, but he thought it was quite funny, and he tried to educate us about homelessness and what it really meant. But he was quite a functional homeless person, to say it like that. And I even went to a Scrabble tournament and won a trophy because he used to teach me how to play Scrabble. Do you guys use QI and ZA and all those strange words? QAT? There's all these words that don't really exist that they use in Scrabble tournaments so they win. And I learned a bit about Scrabble and learned a lot about life through Matt. I also learned that justice matters. And I want to take you to the next part of Amos. And this is what we heard Janet read this morning. I don't think I'll read it all now, but it's about saying it doesn't matter, God says to the Israelites, it doesn't matter how amazing our band arrangements are, even if we have Timpani Graham, or religious festivals, our gatherings, our meetings, everything looks amazing in church. What matters is how we love and treat the disadvantaged. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. In the 12 minor prophets, there's one verse for every minor prophet that you'll probably know or hear. And for Amos, it's this verse, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. This idea that justice shouldn't just be a one-off event or an occasion, but it should be a continual way of living. how we live our lives and how we welcome people into our communities. So we're going to go back to my friend Matt. It's another picture of him with a somewhat famous politician in his day. And like I said, Matt was an intelligent guy. And Matt started accompanying me different places, and I'd often have to talk on homelessness at schools and different events. Being a Salvation Army officer, I was by then, and I soon learned that when you go to a school and you've got to speak to 250 Year 10 boys, that's a lot to handle for 45 minutes about homelessness. You need to have more than just a PowerPoint saying there's over 100,000 people homeless every night and Australia's the leading provider of homelessness services. And so I soon learned that any time I had to talk about homelessness, I'd give Matt a call and say, "Hey, Matt, what are you doing on Tuesday?" And of course, good thing about Matt, he was sort of free 24/7. And I'd just always offer to pay his transport and Matt would turn up. I often, I did this as I went to Geelong, as I went to Adelaide, as I'm here in Sydney. Matt came up, I think, last year, didn't he, and helped us with some things. And Matt would tell them his story about homelessness. And he was put in a boys' home in his when he was about 15. He was sadly abused. It wasn't a Salvation Army boys' home, but a boys' home. And so I was able to help him write some letters and get some funds to help him through that journey. And we helped him quite a lot. And as he came and spoke to schools about his journey, he didn't go into all the details with them, but just to say he'd had a bit of a rough life and he chooses to be nomadic. That's how he would say, be nomadic. And he had his little swag. And he was very clever the way he got around. And he explained to the students that he had a gym membership. And the reason he had a gym membership is because if he smelt good and sort of looked normal, he could go into public places and no one would sort of snub him and they'd talk to him normally. And while he had his shower every morning at 10 o'clock at the local gym, he had this certain shower booth, is it called a shower booth, where he could see a PowerPoint and a line of sight, and every morning he would charge his phone while he was in the shower. And so he could put his phone there, charge his phone, have a shower, and then he'd come back again 24 hours later and do the same thing. So Matt didn't value the things I valued. Material possessions, all those sorts of things didn't mean anything to Matt. But Matt was a good friend and he'd ring up and chat with me quite regularly and we'd do life together. I knew he didn't have a lot of people in his life, but it really hit me in 2015 when he rang me and we'd helped Matt get into university because, as you can hear, he's quite an intelligent guy, number 7 Scrabble player in Australia, and he had this mind that could just remember things, 2-letter words, 3-letter words, 4-letter words, he could just do it. And he got into a Bachelor of Arts, majoring in French and Linguistics. Has anyone got a Bachelor of Arts in French and Linguistics here? No, so probably more intelligent than most of us in this room. And he then rang me up in 2015 and said, are you able to come to my graduation? And I said, you know, I don't need to come. I said, how many tickets you got? And he said, I've only got one. And I said, your family or anyone? He said, no, none of them are interested in coming to my graduation. So I flew over from Adelaide back to Melbourne to La Trobe University. And there is Matt in his graduation gown, and he was so excited, and that was an amazing day. And I thought, wow, it's incredible that this guy who if he comes into Adelaide or Sydney or wherever, he often sleeps in the park, doesn't live the way we live, but was intelligent enough to get a degree. And we tried to help him with accommodation. We set him up all sorts of share houses, as much as $100 a week and all sorts of things. And every time he did that, he'd have some issue with a person living there or the next door neighbour. And it was just stressful for him. And he said, I don't want that lifestyle. I just want to live the way I want to live. And he continued to wander, sleep in parks and storage sheds. And he squatted for a while. And very creative. He always found somewhere he could sleep for the night. But it gets to my third point here in Amos, which says, God can teach us through the strangest of ways. And I'm sure we all know this. There's a few people older than me here. But you look over your journey of life, and often you've learnt things and learnt lessons from people or situations you didn't expect to learn them from. Well, this is me with Matt. I didn't think in 2001 when a guy bought in coffee and donuts, I'd be talking about him 22 years later to explain social justice. But this is what God does, doesn't he? He speaks to us in mysterious ways, we often say. And there's this little story in Amos 7. It says, this is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? A plumb line, I replied. Then the Lord said, look, I am setting a plumb line among my people, Israel. I will spare them no longer. But if you go through all the minor prophets, there's all these bizarre stories that will make no sense. And, you know, stories about fire and locusts and plumb lines. We know stories about donkeys and burning bushes. There's all these stories in the Old Testament. And really, I like to the KISS principle, keep it simple, stupid. And what that basically, like lots of these stories, the theme for me is God speaks to us in mysterious ways. We don't know if we're going to be spoken to through a burning bush or a plumb line or a donkey or someone like Matt. We don't know the people who are going to come in their lives and the situations that happen. But God does speak to us through the strangest of ways, and we'll see that continue to happen through our journey on the minor prophets. So be open and let God speak to you. The last picture I'm going to put up is a picture of Matt, who then went on to design a little business called InfoGuy. And there he is there, and my brother-in-law, Rendell, he was able to help Matt set up FPOS technology. He would take donations and help people, particularly between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. in town when all the info places closed up and no one would pay anyone more to give information. He would hang around train lines and could say, get on this train line at 12:01 and catch the bus here and you can get out to this place, because he could remember everything about the public transport system and how to get help and how to get home, and especially those, sadly, that are intoxicated or not safe, he would help them. And that's what Matt did. So the last time I saw Matt in person was actually in January at a wedding. So Rendell, who helped Matt on his journey with InfoGuy, Rendell got married in January and Matt came up for the wedding in Brisbane, which is quite amazing because I introduced Rendell to Matt and the story goes on. But last Monday, 13 days ago, was I just started a new appointment in Salvo Stores. I'm called the Executive Officer of Salvo Stores. But on my very first morning, while I'm in my very first meeting at 9 o'clock, THQ were trying to ring me, which isn't a good sign for those that are officers. You never want THQ to try and ring you regularly. Anyway, I eventually got them back and rang them back, and they said, we've been trying to find this Dave from the Salvos. Ladies rung up this morning. And they said they wanted to let you know that Matt Dunn has passed away. So this is my friend Matt. So I got back to the lady was a sister of Matt. And it's very sad to say that on the 12th of September, Matt was found dead in a storage unit in St Kilda. No suspicious circumstances. But what was sad is it took 2 weeks. They had to take his dental records because there was no ID on him. And 2 weeks later, they got in contact with a sister. And then she rang THQ on the Monday morning to say, is there a Dave from the Salvos? Matt always talked about a Dave from the Salvos. It was me. I was Dave from the Salvos. And so you can imagine it was quite emotional for me. And on Monday night, 6 days ago, I just conducted his funeral service online. I was actually in Canberra for work. I jumped online. One of his sisters lived in England. Parents are in Roma in Queensland. And a few of us gathered online and we told stories about Matt and gave thanks to God for Matt's life. Why am I telling you that story? I'm telling you that story because social justice for me is about journeying with the marginalised, and as many systems as we have set up and to help people for immediate needs and a one-off food voucher or a conversation here and there, it's a journey of life that builds real relationships. And you'll all each have opportunities to help others, to reach out to others, to love others, to journey with others. And for me, social justice is doing that. It's looking out for the marginalised. Not every time I met with Matt or had coffee with Matt or Matt rang me was convenient for me. Sometimes it was inconvenient. But I ended up taking Matt on as a friend, not as a client, as just another person I had to help. And Matt taught me so much about life and what real social justice looks like. I pray that you'll each have a Matt in your life, or you'll find people in your life. They can be your neighbours, they can be people anywhere in your journey who continue to just annoy you a little bit, continue to challenge the way you live in that good sort of awkward way that will help you be a better person. Let justice roll down like a river means that we should cooperate with God so that his justice will roll down from his spirit into us and out into the world through our lives. God is saying that he doesn't want us to worship him through empty religious rituals, but instead to worship him through living lifestyles that are characterized by justice. And this image of rolling water, the stream, isn't it? It's so therapeutic, isn't it, to look at a river or a stream and just stand there for minutes on end and just watch water flow. And this is the image God has for his people. Justice will roll down like a river. It's not a one-off event. It's not a one thing we need to think of, but it's a constant way we treat and love others. Let me pray with you. Lord, we want to thank you for Matt, for his life, for the way he influenced so many others and helped so many others in this world. And Lord, we want to thank you for all the Matts out there, all those people in our lives that have taught us how to live differently, how to be better people, how to be carriers of your love and grace and your mercy. And Lord, for us as a community, we pray that we'll continue to let justice roll through this community, through the way we treat others and love others and help others. And like this message in Amos, that we'll be more concerned about those that are missing out than those that are in the group, and help us to continue to be mindful of them, to love those who need your love. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen.